Good evening, everybody. Great to see you all. Thank you so much for coming. We are approaching Parshas. We're approaching that as well. But Parshas Vayikra. It is actually now Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a festive month. I remember once when I was in 11th grade, I was asked to speak at a Shal Shiddus in my shul at a Yachad Shabbaton. And I remember saying that it's going to be Nisan this week. And it's a little bit bittersweet because we're leaving Adar into Nisan. And then I realized that Rashi and Maseches Tainis on that Gemara of Misha Nechnas Adar Marbim Simcha says, Yimei Purim U'Pesach. So the truth is that Misha Nechnas Adar Marbim Simcha does not stop at the month of Nisan. It continues into the month of Nisan as Purim and Pesach are both Yimei Nisim, whereby we feel Hashem's presence in our lives. We celebrate the miracles. So we're only continuing the excitement, and we have more Chagim to come. So Sefer Vayikra, obviously known for Korbanos. So we'll learn just the first two psukim of the Parsha. We'll have a machlokes in the Gemara, a little bit of a machlokes we've shown him, and we'll try to connect it to Hilchos Pesach, and we will try to explain this evening many examples of where Hilchos Kadshim, the halachas related to Korbanos, make their way into the halachas of the Seder. And we're really trying to almost mimic Yerushalayim in the dining room. So let's take a look one step at a time. Vayikra el Moshe vayidaber Hashem elav me'ol mo'ed le'mor. So Hashem speaks to Moshe, the veil that he shall speak to the Jews. Mardalem adam ki akriv mikem korban l'Hashem min ha'behema u'min ha'bakar min ha'tzon ta'krivu es korbanchem. So if you want to bring an animal for a korban, it is in these categories of behema, bakar, or tzon. Okay. So what if you bring a korban from the wrong animal? What if you bring a chaya? So the truth is, Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara Zvachan Lamedal and Aleph says you have violated a mitzvah saseh. I mean, when the Torah rather in this week's parsha says you need to bring a korban from a behema, bakar, utzon, that is to the exclusion of a chaya. There are limited animals which can be brought as a korban. And if you actually mess this up, you have violated a positive commandment in the Torah. Reish Lakish Omer, no, ain't over below klum. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, over ba'aseh, you have violated a positive commandment, behema in, chaya lo. You can't bring certain animals as korbanos. There's an exclusive list. Reish Lakish Omer, no. The Torah specifies the preferred animals, but hahu l'mitzvah, argues Reish Lakish. Those are only the ideal examples of animals, but that doesn't mean you can't bring other animals as korbanos. And Rava says, whoa. Ilu ne'amar korban la'Hashem behema. So you know what? Behema is a broad category. Ha'isi omer chaya b'chlal behema. You could have argued that behema includes a chaya. But what does the Torah say? It's very specific. It says, zosa behema sher to. Sorry, it says, bakar v'tzon. Bakar v'tzon amarti l'cha v'lo chaya. We're excluding an animal in the category of chaya. And there's a fascinating mashal that is given. And then the Gemara says, no, you got the mashal wrong. It's really more similar to the following mashal. Two mashalim. Here we go. Yachlo yavivim hevi kosher. So Reish Lakish again. So you might have thought that, b'di'evet, you can bring whatever animal you want. Ha l'mazah doyme. L'tamich amalo rabba. The Rebbe says to the kid, the student. Haveli chitim. So I say to a TABC boy, go to Queen Anne Road and go get me some wheat. Davi lo chitim esaorim. And he brings me back wheat and barley. So do you think he did a good thing or a bad thing? Oh. So the first mashal is, listen, he didn't violate my commandment, right? He fulfilled his commandment. She'enu kemavir al devar, v'ele kemosif al devar, v'kosher. I told him to get wheat. He got wheat and barley. Okay. He added on to my commandment. And then the answer of the Gemara is no. Bakar v'tzon. The Torah is very specific. Bakar v'tzon amarti lecha v'lo chaya. So what's a more precise mashal? If the Rebbe tells the Talmud, go bring me chitin only. I only want chitin. And the Talmud goes and brings back chitin v'sa'or she'enu kemosif al devar. The Talmud is not adding on to what the Rebbe requested. Rather, ele kema'avir al devar. So too, what's the nimshal in our parsha when the Torah specifies which animals may be brought as a korban, min a behema, min a bakar, min a tzon? That specifically means only those animals, the sheep the rams, etc., but not. Behema is a klal bakar, it's a klal prat. And the klal, that's very nice. I did not see the mefarshim on the Gemara who say that, but I totally hear that. All right. I don't know. But yeah, it does look a lot like a protocol, but I don't know enough about that. Either way, believe it or not, the Ramban says that the Rambam, when counting the 613 mitzvos, left this one out. The Ramban says, "Shenitzavinu sheyiye kol korban shenakriv mishloshes mina habehema asher hizkir mina bakar mina ksavim mina izim." So when the Torah says bakar kesev eiz, those are very specific examples, and that's a mitzvah asay to specifically bring from that list. And argues the Ramban that the Rambam should have counted this as one of the 613 mitzvos. The Rambam himself codifies it as a halacha. If you look at the Rambam's, you know, Maizah Korbanos, etc., or he writes in Isurim Mizbech, everyone agrees you can't bring a chaya as a korban, but therefore it should have been counted. So I thought it was a fascinating machlokes in the Gemara how to count the 613 mitzvos. But on the books, we have a concept that you can only bring certain animals as a korban. Okay, relatively basic concept. What animal was brought as the Korban Pesach? So a lamb, a sheep, right? This is all within the kosher category. So let's say you buy lamb and sheep for Pesach. We're now going to learn that this concept of, well, maybe every animal is not actually able to be brought as a Korban is going to make its way to Hilchos Pesach. Here it is. Shulchan Aruch Tav Samech Tes Sif Aleph. Asur lomar al shum behema ben chai ben shchuta, basar zeh lepesach. So if you were to point to a live animal or a dead animal, so if you go to Food Showcase tomorrow, Robert, and you go to the meat section, you point to the animal that you want to eat, and you say, this is for Pesach. So Robert has just violated a sif in Shulchan Aruch, which is Gemara. Lefi shenire shehiktisho mechayim lekorban. Well, if Food Showcase is selling live animals, so he just looked like he was sanctifying an animal to be sacrificed as a Korban Pesach. And why is that bad? Fairlawn, New Jersey is not in the biblical borders of Eretz Yisrael. So, according to even Avram, you know, Ole Mitzrayim, Ole Babel, you know, we keep 2 days out of here. V'nimsa ochel kachim b'chutz. So wait a minute, Rabbi, what are you supposed to do? You go to Food Showcase tomorrow, you want to buy chicken for Pesach. So you're not supposed to say that it's for Pesach. The chicken's for the appetizer, you know, whatever, and the meat is for the meat, whatever you want to call it. All right, you want to buy meat. Thank you, Dr. Carr, for the correction. So if you want to buy meat, you shouldn't say it's for Pesach. That would look like you're designated in Korban. El Yomar. Basar zeh liyom tov.
Yeah, because you said the magic word, Pesach.
Oh.
And in the time of the bias, Pesach meant Korban Pesach. That's why you...
That's right. That's right. So you're not supposed to say that the animal being purchased is for Pesach, lest it appear that you're being makdish something to be burned as a Korban. Now, why I like about this halacha is that it reminds us a little bit more about Yerushalayim than we ever would have thought, right? Whoever would have thought to say, don't do X, Y, or Z because it looks like you're doing something in Yerushalayim, right? Like,
it's more than that. There's still Kedushas of the Korban Pesach. There's still Kedushas
right.
of the animal.
Right, you can make Kutchim nowadays. Right, right.
You can make Kutchim. So
right.
The fact that you can't be Makrovit is your problem.
That's right, that's right. So here it seems to be more of a Mars Ayin, Shenir Eshek Tisho Mechaim Korban. And it looks like you're eating Kachim Machutz. So obviously, we're going to have to point out that, come on, like, let's be real here. When you say to the butcher in Food Showcase, I want this slice of meat, this cut of meat for Pesach, no one actually thinks that you mean that it's for the Korban Pesach, right? You want it for your Seder in Fairlawn, New Jersey, right? So, like, for example, if Amutu Lomar... All right, we're going to get the Mishbu. If Amutu Lomar... chitim elu lepesach. So you are able to say what? This wheat is for Pesach. We're not afraid. Apparently when you say wheat, that it looks like you're sanctifying the wheat. Why not? Oh, because you don't bring korbanos with wheat. Or do you? You don't bring the Korban Pesach with wheat. Now, obviously, all right, now it just should be noted that the Rama points out that even if you don't say for Pesach, any time you make a full lamb roasted, that looks too similar to the Korban Pesach. You should not do that. All right, so if you were to hypothetically in your backyard take a real full lamb, put it on a spit and roast it on Erev Pesach, that's a big problem. That's a big problem that Ramah says. You stick that thing all the way from one end of the animal to the other end of the animal. The animal is complete. Yeah. All right. I don't think that's too practical. But ultimately, don't do that, okay? So it should be another Mishnah Berurah points out. B'dieved, if you did this, you don't have to worry about it. So Robert, your meat is still kosher lePesach. And the question is, why did the Shulchan Aruch say you can't do this to any animal? Whoa. Which animal can be brought as a Korban Pesach? Any animal? So what if you're buying cow? But I'm buying a all right, so says the Mishnah Berurah, afilu hu katan v'gam eino gidi v'teleh. Even if the animal is small, right? Or the animal is not even chazi lepesach. The animal that you're actually purchasing does not even make the cut, is not even able to be brought as a korban pesach. Gam kein asur. Why? Diachshadu shehiktishu mechaim liknos midam of korban pesach. Why am I buying a cow so that I could sell the cow and use that money for my korban pesach? Ukishaoch lo nir keochel kachim b'chutz. So no matter what animal you're buying, ultimately, once you say it's for Pesach, you got a problem. Similarly, if I were to go to Jerome and say, here's my shank bone, I don't know how to roast it for my life. Can you please roast my shank bone for Pesach? That's not good, because now it looks like you're designating it as kutchim. And therefore, what if it were to be for an animal that can't even be brought on the Mizbeach at all? It says in Mishabur, it sounds from the Machaber, Mashma Dafka Behema, Shumin Hakariv Agabe HaMizbeach. Ha! So what if the animal can't even be brought on the Mizbeach at all, i.e. like a Chaya? Something that can't even be brought as a Korban ever. So in the same way we learned that there might be an assay to Dafka bring certain types of animals, so the Mishabur wants to argue that this would only apply to those animals which could be brought as a Korban on the Mizbeach. And by then, not so fast. Oh my gosh, even birds, fish, why? Because what are you going to do? You're going to sanctify the fish, and then you're going to transfer that onto the money, and you're going to use the money to buy a lamb for your Korban Pesach. Okay, so ultimately, ideally, Mishnah Berurah writes, L'chatchila tov lizar shelo lomar lePesach. So when you buy fish, meat, even though your meat can't even be brought as a Korban, try to be machmir and not at least say that it's lePesach. Whoa. What language are we talking? Can you designate a korban in Yiddish? So says the Mishnah Berurah, V'akasva Acharonim, Demasha Anagim Lomar B'lashon
Ashkenaz.
B'lashon Ashkenaz, that's it. Or Basar Ze Al Pesach. So it's not lePesach, but it's Al Pesach. It's a different idea. Even if it's for a lamb, a sheep, that's not a problem because you didn't say Basar Ze lePesach. Wow.
You didn't say the formula.
Exactly. So the wording actually plays a major, major role. And the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Gimel says, even if you were to tell your kid, go take this money to the store and buy Basar lePesach, would also be a problem. So hold on, we got a real problem. We got it because, you know, it seems like a big chumr, no? A big chumr, right? And Jerome's question before, why all of a sudden by the wheat, is it not a problem? Because it doesn't resemble kachim. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Vav says, that's not a problem. It's not a problem. It's not, the purchasing wheat, the kevin de lo dami klal lekadshim. That's already different. So this is a fascinating idea because I've never had to think so hard about avoiding kadshim for my life. My wife says, Yoni, can you please go to the store to buy meat for Pesach? Well, I have to say, no. I have to buy meat on Pesach, not for Pesach. It's a funny thing. So there's a piece in the Halicha Shlomo distribution we record to have in front of us. There's Venir Lehuadin Lefis Signon Halasha Nanog Beinenu She Kishamazgim Beloshin Yiddish She Machag Mevatim Pesach Betzere. Right? The pay is not Pesach, it's Pesach. So we call the holiday Pesach, but apparently they refer to the Korban as a Pesach. It's the Korban Pesach, but it's Pesach as a holiday. So that gets you out of the issue. So if my wife were to say to me, go buy the meat.
They're not
going to
say Pesach when they
lane. That's against Rishlomo Zalman Orbach. So, all right, so let's pause again like him on this one. Whereby Rishlomo Zalman Orbach says, technically speaking, just because of that one vowel change, the Tzeira and the Segol, that actually changes everything. Wow. So apparently, even if you were to say Basar Zeh Le, what, Le Pesach, that's different than saying Pesach, because the Korban is Pesach, holiday is Pesach. That makes sense?
But it's a
chop.
It's a
stretch, you're saying. Shlomo Zalman Orbach is a very learned Rabbi Weintraub.
He's looking for a limud schus for the poor schnook who said.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, bidyavid, everything is okay. Right? Bidyavid, the Mishabura said everything was okay.
The limud schus. He's a limud schus for a couple.
Well, he's coming off the Mishabura, where the Mishabura said. Whereby in Lashon Ashkenaz, you could say Basar Zeh Al Pesach. Meaning he's coming with Mishnah Berurah where you have to know the lingo of the times, etc. All right, so I just wanted to point out that the Beis Hamikdash is like alive and well all of a sudden when it comes to Pesach, and we're like dancing around kutchim issues all of a sudden. And do we ever have such a concept where we're like dancing around, like, oh, don't designate your lulav for the Beis Hamikdash? Again, it seems to rub me a little bit unique, whereby we're like all of a sudden more cognizant and we're more aware of, oh, watch out for the kutchim issue. It's not something we're usually in touch with.
If you had a farm, you'd have to make sure that, you know, if your animal is going to be good first born, you have to sell it year to a book.
Those are real kutchim issues. That's true. Okay. So similarly, we know this one way. So what don't we eat at the Pesach meal? Chametz. What else? Tav ayin vav. Malkum shenagul lechol tzlisa gemar. This is a mission already. Right? That if the minhag of Fairland is to eat roasted meat on the Seder night, ochlim. Malkum shenagul shelo lechol ein ochlim gzer shiyom rebasar pesachu. So, oh my gosh, if the Stern family serves roasted meat, people are going to come to think that it's the Korban Pesach. Uvechol malkum aser lechol zet tzli kulo. Back to Mr. Korban Pesach. The guy who roasts the entirety of an animal, that guy for sure is treif, right? You can't roast the entirety of a lamb. All right, let's ignore him again for a second. That's less than practical. But Sif Beis, afilu basar egel va'of. So again, back to the parsha. Even if the animal is the inappropriate animal, even if it's a cow, a chick, a bird, whatever, kol davar shaton shchita, any animal, aser lechol tzli, b'makom shenagu shelo lechol tzli, and that is our minag. Minag Ashkenaz is that we don't eat roasted meat at the Seder. Okay, now this is a little bit sensitive sometimes. Once upon a time, when I was in the, say around the college stage of life, I was out at a family friend with my family for Pesach, and what happened, they served roasted potatoes. And one of the guys at the table said, can't eat it. It's roasted. So we roasted him. Why? Because what's the halacha? Only items that are shechted. You can't shecht the potato, right? Or you don't shecht the potato. So if I was a little older and wiser at the time, I would have spoken up. At that time, I think I listened to him. I don't think I went home starving, you know. So you know, you're so hungry, you finally get to the meal. Like, nope, treif. Okay, whatever, you know. You know, so hopefully I had a little extra afikoma that night. Whatever. Either way, so the Mishnah Berurah says the minhag is not to eat roasted meat on both nights of the Seder, even if it's
chicken.
Yeah, so roasted chicken. We'll define it as here. So even sleek kedar, so even though you can't roast the korban Pesach in a pot, so we would call pot roast. So you might have argued, come on, Rabbi, I can't even roast the korban Pesach this way, therefore there should be no issue. No, anything that's in the category of roasted, although it does not really resemble the korban Pesach, is a problem because the korban Pesach was roasted. And that it's a Mars Ayin issue that people are going to say, oh, well, once it's okay to do pot roast, it could also roast over the flame. And even the Mishnah Berurah then says, even if you were to cook it first and then roast it, yikes. But then there's a heter that if someone's sick, all right, if you want to roast it and then cook it, so you unroasted it. So I don't even know exactly what that would look like. But again, let's define our terms a little bit. We'll divide it in a minute. So you're violating a minhag. Klai is from, you know, pretty, it's a Shulchan Aruch, you know. It's a minhag, you know. Yeah, I get usher would be a strong word. Well, again, they're both mitam minhag. It's a very good point, Avi. So the idea is like this, but only those items that are in the category of shechita, which means anything like fish, eggs, you can eat those which are roasted, i.e. potatoes, because they don't resemble meat. And by the way, what's on the Seder plate? An egg. So you could technically roast it. Again, the yantav issues if you don't eat it, whatever. But ultimately, the Mishnah Berurah is already saying that's why some people even roast the egg on the Seder plate. Now, I could have seen the poskim being very makeup on this. Because what was roasted in the Korban Pesach? It was roasting it over a flame. When you hit the button on your oven, there ain't no flame.
I think you're high for a bar if you turn on the stove.
Oh.
Because you're heating up metal.
Yeah, so you want to say that there's fire, there's heat, there's bishul. But I Mandelstam, with an agenda over here to save all the pot roasts cookers out there, I could have seen this going either way. Could have been like, come on, there's no flame in an oven. Okay, there's a fire, there's no flame, you know what I'm saying? No? You don't see fire in an oven.
If you heat up the heating element.
No, when you look in an oven, you don't see fire. That's what I'm saying.
A raging fire.
You don't see a raging fire. You don't see a flame. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't look like roasting. And in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan says, V'dafka tzlisha al ha'esh. So my understanding of the Aruch HaShulchan is that the whole issue only applies to those foods which are...
For Korban Pesach, you couldn't use a spit, but you couldn't use a grill.
Very good. Very good.
That would
pass the meat. Okay, so, but then he goes on, he says, people who eat liver. So you can't kosher liver without roasting it, so that would be a problem. So I could have seen, though, people seem being pretty makel about this minute, because nothing is really roasted in the same way that we roast the Korban Pesach. However, that's not the minhag. My Masor, I remember from my rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo Hanfer, growing up, was that you need a liquid, meaning it needs to dafka be cooked. Now, we define cooked in halacha as a liquid. So if there's a lot of gravy, a lot of oil, a lot of water, a liquid is considered to be cooking, which means, technically speaking, baking equals roasting. So chicken cutlets at the Seder. Yeah, so Adam all of a sudden, Mr. Machmir over there, and all of a sudden has wants to save his chicken cutlets. So the OU Kosher came out with a statement, I don't know when, but Rav Schechter Shlita ruled that the same applies to meat cooked, how do you pronounce that? Yeah, sous vide. I'm not as cultured as Jerome is. Sous vide, what do they call these things? A sous vide machine. Since the meat cooks in its own juices, and not in water, it too is similar to pot roast and should not be served at the Seder. So meaning, it needs to cook in water, it needs to cook in another thing. Yeah, so that was my masorah that needs to be cooked in like water. Now again, I would
so
never.
There's no flame here.
But
it's boiling.
There, it's a problem thereby because it's being cooked in its own juices, right? Right. So I'm wrong. That's what I'm saying. I'm wrong. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I could have seen it being lenient, but then apparently that's not the minute. I'm saying. Right. Meaning, despite the fact that there's no flame, it doesn't really look like the roasting the Rambezach. That's not the minhag. The minhag is to be machmir. Now, again, does that really mean what you have to tell people that make chicken cutlets that they did something wrong? Right, soup chicken would be ideal. I don't know. I don't know how many people realize that, like, to be non-roasted means to cook it in a liquid, gravy, saucy type of recipe. Is that known or not? I don't know. Do people know to have saucy chicken at the saucy meat at the Seder? I would imagine a lot of chicken cutlets probably served that. And chicken cutlets, what I mean by that, is pretty dry. Like, not so saucy.
Schnitzel,
that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about schnitzel.
So it's fried or baked. Yeah.
So if it's fried in real oil, that's geschmack, that's good. But if it's baked, then you got a problem. But if it's fried in a liquid, then you're good. Or if it's baked in a liquid, whatever. But if it's anything that's basically schnitzel a little dry in a frying pan without oil, it's not soaked. So technically speaking, you could run into a problem here. So here we have potatoes. Now you do want to...
That's why I had changed my mind.
What do you mean? Yeah, good. Right, normally, very good. So I always get a lot of chizik from my mother-in-law's roast beef at the Seder. You know, it's nice and saucy. It's fleishiks. It's what you want to see. So everyone should, as you give everyone a bracha, you should have saucy meat. Yeah, you should have a lot of gravy on your meat. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. Okay. So now what do we do after the Seder is over? We have after the meal is over, we obviously eat the Afikomen. Why do we eat the Afikomen? Zechel Pesach, Anechel Ala Sova. Okay. Now we should be machmir to eat it before Chatzos. And the Ramah then adds, you should also be machmir to what? To even finish Hallel before Chatzos. Wow. Why should you finish Hallel before Chatzos?
Start after Tzeis, which is already 9 o'clock.
So he's getting late. He's getting late, Avi says. I hear that. It's a good reason. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Afikomen is Zechel Pesach. So you need to eat it before the Pesach. And the Pesach, you know, according to maybe two opinions, at least one opinion, for sure, right, needed to be consumed, eaten before Chatzos. Okay, but what about Hallel? Why did Hallel need to be said before Chatzos at the Seder? You finish Hallel before Chatzos at the Seder. So the Kaf HaChaim says, Shagam HaHallel, Yikra Kodem Chatzos. Why, according to all these Rishonim, who say that, and the Tam is because the Korban Pesach requires Hallel, and the Hallel we recite at the Seder is what? Like the Hallel that said, when we what? When we ate the Korban Pesach. Says the Kaf HaChaim that in the same way that the Matzah is Zeichel Korban Pesach, the Hallel we recite at the Seder is Zeicher to the Hallel they would recite when they ate the Korban Pesach. Wow. So therefore, it follows the rules of Achilas Korban Pesach. So I love that. You know why? Because it brings me back to that Gemara in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Hey, I didn't put on the Marmakomas, but Pei Vav and Aleph, that says that they would sing Hallel on the rooftops. So I feel like, again, we get so burnt out at the end of the Seder that by the end we get to Hallel, we're all done, you know. You invested all your time in the four sons, and by the time you get to the meal, you like kind of take a deep breath. But by Hallel, we're all winded. But the Rav felt that Hallel was like the whole point of the Seder. You have to celebrate the Hallel, which differentiates the Pesach Seder from all the other nights of the year where we only remember Mitzrayim. So I always felt like when you say Hallel, imagine like you're in Yerushalayim, you know, singing on a rooftop. And that's why the Halacha would require, or at least suggest, that we finish Hallel before Chatzos. So just a little plug again for Hallel. Before I forget also, what do we do when we say the Magid? When we get to Maror Zeh, what do? We pick up.
Mother Rebbe said.
All right. So we know that we pick up the But what don't we do? When we get up to Pesach, why would we not pick up the shank bone at that moment? Shouldn't we pick up the shank bone as the ideal prop? We pick up the Pesach, or we point to it, we point to the maror. So why don't we point to the shank bone?
Same reason.
Oh, it looks like kodshim b'chutz. You're not allowed to bring a korban in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Unbelievable. So, oh. No, even worse. That's a very, very interesting. Oh, it's kodshim b'chutz. You know why? Because it's not kodshim. It's not kodshim. No, you don't want to. No. I hear what you're saying, Abe. It's a very smart point. It's not b'chutz, but it's, you don't want it to look like kodshim b'chutz. Because you're going to eat it the next day. It's going to be thrown out. I totally hear what you're saying. But it's a very sharp question. So don't point to the Zroa. That why? Because it looks like you're actually equating it with the real Korban Pesach. And that's a big no-no. The Korban Pesach should not be at your table in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Wow. So similarly, we know on the Seder plates, what do? We put the shank bone. Why do we put the shank bone there? Yeah, it's a Zroa. And it should be roasted. What? Why are we roasting it? Why are we roasting it? To be like the Korban Pesach. So why is that not a problem? The whole evening we're trying to avoid looking like the Korban Pesach. But all of a sudden, no, roast it. Roast it. I have a vivid memory with my mother in the kitchen on our Pesach. She took the shank bone over the open flame on the stovetop and said, I feel like we're in Yerushalayim. My mom, I feel like we're in Yerushalayim. I told my mother, Chas v'shalom, to make a state. But the point is that my mother, God bless her, she should live until May of Esrin. She's only 35 every year. It was always her 25th birthday. So she mamish felt it. Because when we were roasting that shank bone, the idea was, it really feels like in Yerushalayim. So there's a dichotomy at the Seder, right? It's bitter, sweet. You remember the slavery, remember the geula. So on one hand, we can't get carried away. Your dining room is not Yerushalayim. Don't pretend the basar is kachim chas v'shalom. On the other hand, your dining room is mamish Yerushalayim. Finish the afikomen by chatzos. Finish the challah by chatzos. Because we can imagine that we're in Yerushalayim at the Seder to some degree. I think we're striking that balance where you can't point to the shank bone, but it could be there. And we use our imagination on Pesach night. And I almost feel like in the beginning when we say Halach Ma'anya, we say we're not in Yerushalayim, Hashem Abab Yerushalayim, in the beginning of Magid. But by the end of Magid, we should have transformed into a naive youth, literally imagining that he's singing Hallel on the rooftops of Yerushalayim. Four cups of wine could get you there. The idea is that your dining room should transform into Yerushalayim, albeit only on an imaginative level, but there's a lot to learn from the power of the imagination, from the props of the Seder, Shol B'Zocha, Tid Kachim, Bifnim, and Yerushalayim, B'Meir, V'Meir.